Well, if you'll remember back 2 weeks ago, we were talking about bargaining with God. We saw several examples. If you remember, we talked about Abraham, how he bargained with God. We also looked at Noah. He also bargained with God. And I think you got a little bit of the gist from that sermon that God expects us to bargain with God as well. Not haggle over prices like we saw, but to be persistent, never ceasing. Let's turn over to 2 Samuel now. We're going to read about David. You know, David, we all know, is a man very, very close to the heart of God. And as we'll see, he also negotiated with God. You know, I was thinking about this. I was really going to title this sermon, How to Make Your Prayers More Effective by Bargaining with God. I only had one problem. It wouldn't fit in the bulletin. So I just shortened it down to Bargaining with God just to keep you guessing a little bit. Now I got a question for you before we get started. How many of you, as of right now, have unanswered prayers? Let's see hands. Mine's up really high. Because I've got prayers out there right now, right there on the table, that are still, as of yet, unanswered. Well, I believe God really wants to answer our prayers. But he wants us to work with him on those requests. He wants to teach us something about our own prayer life. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 24, starting in verse 10. Here we have David. He had numbered Israel here, in particular his army. And boy, he was beating his chest, wasn't he? He was gloating. Look how powerful we are. Huh. All you other nations, look at Israel. We're powerful now. So it says in 2 Samuel 24, Now David's heart troubled him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I've sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly. Now, we know David was a man after God's own heart, because I believe David could look at himself like God looked at him. And he could also repent when it was necessary. Verse 11. When David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and speak to David. Thus says the Lord, I am offering you three things. Choose for yourself one of them. Now this is as a punishment here, which I will do to you. So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, Shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and see what answer I shall receive to him who sent me. Now David answers pretty wisely here, doesn't he? Because I think he knew the mind of God. Verse 14, Then David said to God, to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us now fall in to the hands of the Lord. You know, sometimes we're pretty foolish, aren't we? Sometimes we do really, really stupid things. Or am I the only one? You know, all of us do from time to time. All of us do really foolish things, make foolish decisions. And then we want God to rescue us, don't we? When we make those bad decisions ourselves, we want God to rescue us out of them. Well, sometimes God says, you know what? I think it's better just to leave you in that situation. So you might just learn a little lesson here. I'm going to let you suffer the natural penalties here that you got yourself into. I don't know about you, but when I've gotten into some of those messes, I cry out to God. I say, God, please get me out of this mess. I know I did it. But you know what's best. And God, I'm going to leave it in your hands. You know, I tell you, that's something that I've prayed often. And something else that I've prayed often. And I've even counseled people on their prayer life. You know, I tell them, if you were faced with several different options, don't pray to God, God, choose which one's the best for me. Pray for God to close the doors of the ones that He doesn't want for us, and leave the one open that He does. Because you know, when He closes all the wrong doors, even us in our own stupidity know which door to choose then. Know which way to go that God would have us go. It's worked for me. And I think this is the case here for David. Because he said in verse 14, let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So what was God's answer here? Well, He sent a plague on Israel, didn't He? Took door number 3. God sent a plague. But when it went so far, God intervened here. He said, that's enough. And God led this through this time that we're speaking about here. Do you know what became of this? It led to the opportunity for Israel to purchase the land where soon the temple would be built. See the good and the bad. God closed the other doors so that they would go through this door. It led to the land being purchased where the temple was built. You know, once again, I really, really think that we have to pray to put ourselves in God's hands. To do what God's will is for us. Not just to say, okay, God, Your will be done. That's not what I'm talking about. And then we just go on and walk through our activities when we do that, don't we? I'm talking about praying to God. To putting your life in God's hands. To pleading with Him. To bargaining with Him. To close all those wrong doors and open the right one. And for us in our prayers to give Him good reason to do that. Let's go over to 2 Kings now. I'm lucky here because my cheap Bible picks back up at 2 Kings 20. I'm missing all of the rest of 2 Kings, but 2 Kings 20 is there. We've got another example here. It's the example of Hezekiah. Let's look at how he negotiates with God here. In 2 Kings chapter 20, starting in verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what's right, what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He negotiated with God, didn't he? He said, "God, I've tried to obey you." You know, if we read between the lines here a little bit, he says, "You know, I haven't been perfect, but I've tried. I've really tried. I've tried hard to do what you said. And I know you've been with me. It's evident in my life." He said, "But boy, do I need some help now." In verse 4, it says, "Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him." So he hadn't gone very far. Isaiah hadn't traveled very far, maybe 100 steps or so, just after pronouncing this death sentence on Hezekiah. And let's look in verse 5. He says, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." So God here adds 15 years to Hezekiah's life. After he pleaded with him, after he reasoned with him. We heard a few prayer requests this morning, didn't we? Now, I'm sure if you pick up your bulletin, you're going to see a whole bunch of unanswered prayers. You know, I was thinking about this. We could be very casual, you might say, about this. Say, "Well, there's lots of prayer requests out there, yeah. Yeah, there's lots of needs out there." I know if you're like me, sometimes, especially when we're in a hurry, we'll kneel down and say, "You know, God, please, you know, please heal all those people that need to be healed. In Jesus' name, amen." I wonder how effective that prayer is. Based on what we've read so far today, oh, bless your heart, Patsy, thank you. Based on what we've read today and 2 weeks ago, how effective is that prayer? You know, how about if we each just took a few of the requests, maybe somebody that we know personally or became acquainted with, and we got a hold of those people, whether it was a letter, an email, a phone call, and told those people that had that request, "You know, I'm going to negotiate with God on your behalf. I'm going to plead with Him. I'm going to bargain with Him. Just like my pastor friend told me, I'm going to grab hold of the feet of God. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to bargain with God." Do you think we might be a little bit more effective that way? I sure do. You know, let's see what Christ has to say. We're going to see what Christ has to say about this concept. Over in Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1. It says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Boy, it's easy to lose heart, isn't it? It really is. If we're not getting an instant answer, it's easy to lose heart. Because we live in an instant world, don't we? We've got fast food. We've got 1 hour photo. I know if you're like me, if you maybe go to the bank and you have to wait more than 30 seconds, you start getting impatient. We live in an instant world. We live in a fast-paced world. And if God, when we pray to Him, doesn't turn out to be an Anison bottle God, how many of you remember the old Anison slogan? For fast, fast, fast relief. If He doesn't turn out to be that kind of God, then we start to lose heart. We get impatient. You know, we say, oh no, what's God doing here? It's been 5 whole minutes and He hadn't answered my prayer yet. Kind of what Christ brings out here. Let's continue reading in verse 2. In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. So he was kind of this small town judge, you might say, that wanted to be in charge of everything here. Said there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, and again we can read between the lines here a little bit, get the feeling that this woman was coming over and over and over again. Because finally the judge said in verse 5, yet because this woman bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she's going to wear me out. Do we sometimes get the feeling that we're bothering God by continually coming to Him? That we're pestering Him, maybe? If we keep coming back and asking for the same things and reasoning with Him and debating with Him, do we feel like we're bothering God? Well, Jesus gave us a hint right here. Just a little hint about prayer. God expects us to come back time and time and time and time again. To reason with Him. And to negotiate with Him. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for His elect who cry out to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith? So there seems to be here a very close association with our prayer life and with faith, doesn't it? With our willingness to go before God over and over again with our requests. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 15. We read this morning. Now these are verses that I have read over and over again. And they still, I don't know, they amaze me. I'm amazed with the tenacity of this Canaanite woman. She was a Gentile. She had a demon-possessed daughter. And she was desperately wanting Christ to heal her. Start in verse 21, Matthew 15. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he didn't answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away. She keeps shouting at us. She's making a lot of noise, isn't she? She's starting to become a pest." They're saying, "Jesus, she's following us around everywhere. I'm tired of listening to her. Make her go away." Verse 24. But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Whew! Not very politically correct answer there, was it? There's a point being made here, though, regarding what he is saying to this woman. If you go and look at the many commentaries about this verse, from the Greek that's written here, it's written that she was relentless. Over and over and over and over again, she asked and asked. She pestered Jesus. She pestered the disciples. Maybe she even went to him and said, "Come on, get your master to heal her." Well, he makes that comment in verse 26. And it's interesting what her response is in verse 27. And I want you to notice here how she's negotiating with Jesus. He's got something she wants. The healing power of God, right? And in verse 27, she said, "But she said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.'" Then Jesus responds here, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. There's a lesson here. There's a lesson here that Christ is teaching about our contact with Him and with God in our prayer life. You know, I'm going to share a little speculation with you here. How many of you know the singer-songwriter Jim Croce? Not very many. Well, he actually died at a very young age in a plane crash. But he wrote a song. That song was called "Time in a Bottle." It's even popular with a lot of people today. And that song talks about he wishes he could save time in a bottle so that he could pull the memories out and relive them. Well, I got to thinking about that as I was studying this. You know, we really can't save time, can we? You know, we hear all about the time-saving measures. We can't save time. Because when the moment's there, it's gone. We can't save time in a bottle. You know, we spend our time doing many different things. Some things are very worthwhile. Some things are just kind of frivolous waste of time, too, aren't they? But There's one part of our lives, the time that we invest, that I believe is going to be saved forever. I'm speculating a little bit here. But let's turn over to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Because we're going to read a couple interesting scriptures here. That the time that we spend or invest in prayer, it's going to be saved. It may be only an analogy that we're reading here. But to me, this is pretty interesting. Revelation 5, verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints are appeals that are made to God. What did Christ tell us to pray? Thy kingdom come. He told us to pray that. He wants us to do that. He wants us to appeal to God. Father, send your kingdom to this earth. He wants us to do it over and over again. Now, Revelation chapter 8. Verse 3. Because when it finally comes time in the future here, when it finally comes time for God to say, I've had enough, and to intervene in the course of human affairs, save this world from destruction, I want you to look at Revelation 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. We almost get the picture that God's sitting on the throne here. And he's going to open up this bowl. And it's going to contain the prayers of the saints for thousands of years. And somehow these prayers are going to convince him, persuade him to intervene and send his son back to this earth. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And then the seven angels holding the seven trumpets step out and prepare to sound. You know, I really believe the prayers of the saints, many of the past years, God preserves every prayer that you have. He preserves. Can you say that about any other part of your life? No. God hears and preserves every prayer that you have. You know, I hope that you've seen from these two sermons that God expects us to come before Him over and over again, to plead with Him, to bargain with Him. He gave us intellect. He gave us the ability to reason. He wants us to have a relationship with Him, to be a friend with Him. You know, not just to ask, but to reason, to bargain through our prayers. Because I really believe if we develop these habits, I believe that God will answer our prayers. So let's each and every one of us bargain with our great God. Not just for the requests that we have now, but for Him to send His Son to this earth so that at that time, forever, can truly start.